Yeah, and I don't know how this can be labeled as frivolity, but it is interesting to me because a couple of weeks ago I had to miss a random Tuesday on the show because I got called for jury duty. And I had a lot of questions about that process. So we had a lawyer reach out, and now we can have a lawyer in our back pocket.
That's right.
No. I mean, to answer the questions that we have.
Objection.
About everything that's going on. So let's go to the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline, and we are joined by Brent Terman. Brent, do you read me?
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Great, man. How are you?
No complaints. It's Friday.
So please tell me the firm, whatever you work for, so we can get that out there.
Yes, my name is Brent Terman. I'm a business litigation attorney, a partner here at Bell Nunnally in Dallas.
Bell Nunnally in Dallas. So you heard me complaining about my jury duty, or not complaining, but having a lot of questions about the process of the selection of a jury, and you reached out and said, hey, man, we can help you out. So we wanted to get some of those questions to you and answers on the air. So you're cool with that, right?
Oh, I'm great. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so when I was there that last, a couple Tuesdays ago, they have a pool of, let's say, 50 jurors. And when they sit you outside of the courtroom and then they line you up by number, is that random or have they looked over kind of the list of names and put you in a specific order?
So that's a great question. And when I was listening on the app, I heard your experience, you talking about it. And it sounded like you kind of got your feelings hurt if you weren't picked for the jury. So I want to explain how it works.
Okay.
And so it is random, the numbers you get put in, but those numbers are so important once you are in the courtroom with the rest of the potential jurors. Because the way they do it, they're going to pick a numerical order. So if nobody is eliminated from that jury for any reason or struck, then the first, say you have a jury of 12, numbers 1 through 12 are going to make it to the jury, and everyone back then can, you know, get their check, head out for the day.
So is that because it's just easier for the lawyers as you're, you know, standing in front of everyone and trying to make those strikes or whatever? Or what's the method to the madness of just going in numerical order or the first 12?
Well, with that is predictability. And one thing is, I don't know if this is a rule or not, but I would think efficiency, because one of the things that you experienced, I think, based on what you said on the air, was that really the attorneys there spent a lot of time with the people further up in the first couple rows.
Right.
And again, it wasn't because they didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings in the back row. It's because they knew that mathematically it was very unlikely anyone on the back row was going to be a juror. And so it helps them get through the jury selection process quicker because you have only a limited amount of time.
Also, it's all about efficiency. It's not about – but you – because – when they ask the questions, and again, this is Brent Terman with Bell Nunnally, and he's answering our questions about the jury selection process because he is an attorney. And we were getting lined up, and the bailiff came out and said, yeah, it's probably going to be selected in the first couple of rows. But when you are asking the questions about, okay, has anyone ever, have you experienced this? Have you done that? And you have a limited number of people who will raise their hands that you will feel that would help you out in your case. But even if you're on the back row, you're kind of getting the stank eye. It's like, I'm not even paying attention to you.
A lot of times, but I mean, for example, I had a case dealing with securities, and there was a broker on the back row. I knew he wasn't going to make the jury, but I wanted him to talk about his experience and teach the jury. So if there's something about you that's unique, definitely in the back row you can get questions. But if they are looking for people to strike, they're going to be looking in the front row, and I can talk about more what that means if you'd like, about striking potential jurors.
Yeah, so how much do you know when you're looking at that pool? Because you talk about you knew there was a broker on the back row. Do you have a knowledge of these people that are in the room, that at least like a working knowledge of who they are?
Oh, yeah, don't be too scared. We're not digging or anything like that. But the county or the district court, they provide us information they have. It's limited. It's age, children, where they live, as in city, occupation, and things like that. And sometimes for cases, they'll have you fill out a questionnaire beforehand as well, and that'll provide that information. That's all information that the judge said he or she wants to provide to the attorneys. Hmm.
Brent Terman, who's joining us, he's an attorney, Bell Nunnally. And so there are some people who are in the juror pool that are truly trying to get out of doing jury duty. They don't want to do it. and they try to make it obvious by saying some kind of outrageous, outlandish things. Now, when you see that in your jury selection process, are you automatically saying, all right, strike, they don't want to do it? Or do you put your eye on them more because you feel like they're just trying to do it just to get out of it?
I mean, a lot of times I'm not going to, you know, give the secret questions and answers to ask, but a couple things that's important. If someone doesn't want to be there, and for example, if you have a lengthy trial that's going to be multiple days, that could be toxic to the jury. You don't want that kind of negativity there. So, and if, also if they have legitimate reasons to be home, if they have to care for a loved one, they have, you know, international paid for travel, let's let them go, right? Let's not hold them here hostage. But generally, if someone doesn't want to be there, I don't want them to be there as well, unless it's going to be a very quick trial.
So when you're going through this process and you decide, okay, we don't want this juror, is that, do you have so many strikes or whatever you call it where you can just eliminate somebody for any reason whatsoever?
Yeah, so each side will get a certain number of those, and there can also be strikes for cause. And what that means is everyone agrees that person can't be impartial or fair in this case. For example, if somebody dealt with a lawsuit that's almost identical to this and they were a party, like, it'd be a hard time for them to actually listen to the facts and evidence without bringing their experience to the table and how it affected them. And then on top of that, after for cause, each side will get its own number of causes or strikes that it can use for any reason. It can be all the way from I didn't like their answer to the client saying I didn't like that juror's vibes. I mean, it's just kind of whatever reason you see fit for your case.
Brent Terman, an attorney for Bell Nunnally, on with us. It's the Invasion live in McKinney. We're asking him about the jury selection process. And, you know, you go into it, Brent, saying, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to serve, or it's kind of inconvenient. You know, you have to take the day off, or maybe your boss is upset or whatever. And then when we were in the central jury room and they had this new process of just walking through rows and standing everyone up and walking them to where they're supposed to get separated as far as their different courts. And then she just said, hey, anyone just feel like serving today? And I just went, you know what? What the heck? I'm down here anyway. So I did it. So maybe that's why I feel like my feelings were hurt. They became hurt because I probably had an opportunity to go home. I don't know. But I even just volunteered and said, well, I'm here. Might as well. And then they didn't even look my way when they were asking questions. I raised my hand on like five of the six questions. I raised my hand and I didn't get a look because I'm number 37.
Yeah, see, I told you. I could tell you took it personal. Well, explain how the process works. Everyone knows.
But why would I? I don't even. It didn't bother me that I wasn't on the case, but it bothered me because they didn't pay attention to me.
You just wanted to ask you something.
Right, talk to me. I didn't say a thing.
You're teaching me right now. I'll make sure to remember that next jury trial.
Right. So, at least look at the back row. At least acknowledge that the back row is there.
Like, all right, jury number 48, just real quick.
Right, and then he'll feel good, and then he doesn't get.
And then you go right back to the front.
Right, go right back to two.
Exactly.
So, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when we were talking about this before, I have never been summoned.
And oh wow!
Yeah, like it happened one time when I first turned 18 years ago. That was the only time I've ever gotten a summons for jury duty, but I was in high school, so I couldn't go. It's never happened to me since then. So, do you have any idea, like, how they determine how to summon people to begin with?
I mean, unless you've been called recently, it's random, and unless you're living off the grid, you should be in the database, right? And so with that, kind of same experience. I had one when I was in college, and I got someone back in Hunt County because that's where I grew up in Commerce, and I told them, hey, I don't live there anymore. I go to school at SMU. But now my wife, she's been called three times the last 5 years. So it's random. Couldn't explain it to you.
Yeah, they love the Lewises.
I guess
because
we
are called all the time. My wife has gotten probably two or three in the last 4 years, and I got this summons, and I've been actually on a jury once, but I've been called for jury duty so many different times that in college where you have some of the disqualifications that you can get out of it, but I'm right back in there, man. So we need to equate this with the lottery system so I can win the lottery as many times as I've been called to jury duty. Brent, come on, man.
There we go. We'll see what changes we can do. Next legislative session, we'll make it happen.
So when you guys and this is Brent Terman, on with us for a couple more minutes. He's an attorney, Bell and Nunnally, and you guys have your certain strikes, and then you have to get together, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm guessing, you and the other lawyer have to get together and come together with this jury and make those strikes. Has there ever been any conflict as far as striking, or you want this guy and someone else doesn't want it, and you kind of get into a heated argument about that person being on the jury?
I'll tell you, there's a lot of heated arguments in and leading up to trial, but thankfully there's not one in this phase, because the judge, I mean, you wouldn't see this as the jurors. The judge sends us off to different rooms. Okay. We individually pick who we want to strike. We turn that list back into the court.
Gotcha.
You know, we may have even sought to strike the same person, but we just don't know until the judge looks at it and tells us who the jurors are going to be, the judge and the staff.
Interesting.
That is very interesting.
Not like in the movies.
Right, right. Yeah. I want number five.
Right. We'd like to strike number five. No, no.
Well, Brent, man, thank you so much for reaching out and coming on with us to answer some of those questions. The next time I get called, if I'm not on the first couple of rows, I probably have my feelings hurt, and we'll bring you on again, because it'll probably be within the next year or so. Knowing my luck, I always get called, so I'll be right back in there. Hey, appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
That's Brent Turman.
Interesting.
Grew up in Commerce.
Yeah.
Home of East Texas A&M University.